Welcome back, everybody, to the seventh episode of the Bigger Ballers podcast. I am your host, Dev. With me, as always, and in person for the second time, Brinks. What's up, man? How's it going?
You know, going pretty good. Good day.
It was a good day.
We just got off the golf course, which was nice to be able to get out together in person. Had some nice weather today. It was supposed to play yesterday.
Really?
I mean, not super warm. No wind. That's what I'm most grateful for.
I don't even remember the last time I've golfed with no wind like that. Nice sunny day. It did get a little chilly. We had to throw the pullovers back on towards the end, but really was not bad at all.
No.
We were moving around, and you know, I was hitting the ball so many times that I was staying nice and toasty.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just glad we could get out, have a good time, play together.
I don't feel so bad about it because it was my first time playing that course.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every time I play Bay Hills with my brothers now, I've knocked anywhere from 4 to 6 strokes off of it. So, I'm sure if I were to play that course again, I would not play nearly as bad. And like I said today, my hybrid was betraying me, whereas my irons, which normally I'm not good with, were a little bit better, which is weird. Definitely because I went to the range today, so that helps. But
definitely doesn't hurt to get practice.
Yeah, a lot of practice today.
I couldn't make a putt to save my life today. Still, I mean, I played less than bogey golf, which is okay with me. I can't really complain. Managed my way around the course pretty well.
I don't know what that's like. I've never broke 90 before.
Yeah.
Ever.
So. That's where I should be all the time. You'll get there. Just takes play more often. And
yeah. I mean, practice. There's a lot that goes into that. I think I need to keep playing more. And I think clubs will eventually come to be a part of it. I definitely will need new clubs eventually.
But yeah. Equipment matters.
They're fine for now. So.
For sure. Fun nonetheless. We had some, to kind of kick off the sports talk. Big news in the NFL today. Big news. I mean, I kind of get you take your team to the Super Bowl. Granted, you don't win it. You got to lock someone like that up. And Jalen Hurts gets the biggest contract ever in NFL history. They went ahead and extended him. Super glad for him. I mean, you can't say he didn't earn it, right? Well, and I think it equates to, is it $51 million a year?
It was something pretty bananas like that. I mean, it was, hold on,
I'm pretty sure it was $255 million deal is what it was as far as the extension goes. So 5 years, $255. I forget the guaranteed portion. It was quite a bit, though.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that really shocks anybody that he got offered that deal. I think it's probably more surprising that he got offered it before Lamar did, but
yeah,
I did see a little bit ago, probably less than an hour ago on Twitter, supposedly the Ravens did offer Lamar a $200 million guaranteed. So we'll see what happens with that. He did just get Odell. So maybe he was just wanting another weapon before he committed, or
$200 million guaranteed is a pretty solid deal. He should take that.
That's a lot of money.
I know he wants more. Hurts, by the way, I did pull it up. His was a 5-year, $255 million extension, including $179,304,000 guaranteed. So that's pretty solid.
It's just so much money.
It's a lot of money to play football. That's for sure.
It is. And I know there's a couple of quarterbacks that are kind of looking at their extensions coming up. I know Justin Herbert's one that, as a Chargers fan, we're kind of keeping an eye on. I can't imagine that he'll get offered the same amount of money. One, I don't think he's going to require it. I think he cares more about the game than he does about getting paid. That's just his personality. But, I mean, the Chargers are going to want to make sure that he sticks around, I think. So
Joe Burrow's going to get paid.
Joe Burrow definitely is.
Definitely will definitely get paid. Get paid.
I wouldn't be surprised if he has a bigger contract than Jalen Hurts does.
Me either. I mean, he took his team to the Super Bowl as well already. Had a really good run this year. I mean, they were a good football team again this year. Made it to the AFC Championship game. Right? Didn't they play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship? Yes. Am I recalling that correctly?
It seems like it was so long ago.
But it does. It's like 3 months ago, right? Yeah. I mean, we're mid-April. Speaking of the NFL, next Thursday, we will finally find out who my Panthers are going to take first overall.
Dude, it's just a matter of what quarterback they're going to take.
Right, We know they're taking a quarterback, hands down. We have to.
I'm freaking out about what the Chargers are going to do. Because I just saw today that we re-signed Jalen Guyton, who was hurt most of last season. He was kind of our speedy receiver, which terrifies me that they're going to be like, oh, we're good on speed now, and go draft someone else. I know that they've been looking a lot, or they had a workout with Dalton Kincaid. I would like Darnell Washington. If we're going to not take a fast receiver at 21, a tight end is definitely, I think, where we should go. But we did just re-sign Donald Parham a few weeks ago. So it's going to be interesting to see where we decide to go. I'm still voting for Zay Flowers from Boston College. I mean, that dude is fast, shifty. I think he'd be great deep threat to, you know, go with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. But
I mean, TBD, there's so much that has to go on ahead of them. You never know what the teams ahead of you are going to do. The great thing about my team is no one's ahead of us. We can take literally whoever we want. I hope they make the right decision and draft CJ Stroud. Yeah. I really hope that's who they pick. I did see
something today that 38% of people in whatever poll, I don't know how many people, but 38% thought that Bryce Young was going to be a bust, which I kind of agree with.
He's short. Yeah. Short quarterbacks don't usually pan out.
Kind of a bust Kyler Murray was.
He can't stay healthy. I mean, when he takes a hit, it hurts. I mean, the only quarterback I can think of, but he was more of a pocket quarterback that's been successful without a whole lot of height. I mean, I can't say only. There have been a few, but the most recent is Drew Brees.
That's what I was thinking of. He's pretty short.
He was an incredible quarterback. I hated playing against him as he played for the Saints so long in the same division as the Panthers. That's the only one I can really think of. That's
definitely going to be one of the big one that got away from the Chargers. I would have much rather had Drew Brees over Phillip Rivers.
Hands down. Yeah, they definitely shouldn't have let him get away.
We'll see. I think I'm hoping there's at least a couple more moves over the next week. I would assume that there is with the draft coming up. And you never know. I think we're due for at least one or two more big signings. I think there's a lot.
There's still got a lot to be done. We got 10 days. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then, of course, on the day of the draft or during the draft. What kind of trades, what kind of pieces do we see move? Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers has still yet to get officially traded. Did they extended him?
I don't know about that.
I don't know if maybe not. Like, you know, to go ahead and lock the contract up before he gets traded. I don't think that happened, but we'll see. I feel like a lot is hinging on the Jets' first round pick. That's I feel like the biggest argument right now, probably, that they're going through between the teams and why they can't come up with a deal, to be honest. So we'll see.
I would love to see him not sign with the Jets. I think it'd be hilarious that they're kind of just banking on him.
He's going to. I mean, he said publicly he wants to go there. The Packers have really moved on from everything they're saying as a franchise. So we'll see. I mean, we got 10 days. We've talked. I think it'd be really cool if we did a live edition during the draft.
I think that would be really cool. Doing something like that, doing it live.
Yeah, whether we do like a podcast or hop on somewhere where maybe our fans can watch along with us. We might be able
to do a YouTube. That wouldn't be too hard to get pulled up.
Yeah, that would be.
We could do a YouTube live. I've already got the account and all the stuff set up. So
more on that to come to our audience. That would be really fun.
And I know next week is going to be interesting because I could be driving all next Monday. So at a minimum, that episode might get pushed back a day or two just because I won't be, you know, in Georgia yet. I'll be traveling. Hopefully I'm back Sunday night, but we'll see.
Got a big fishing trip this weekend. Hope you catch the fish. Have a good time. I was hoping to play golf again this weekend, but the weather is not going to be conducive to golf. I think the high on Saturday is 50, so might find something else to do. We'll see.
I did find it interesting today when we were playing, like, and you made the comment of how different the ball was flying as it got colder.
It completely is different, and that's what makes a pro so much better than us as amateurs. And I play a lot of golf, and I've seen it firsthand and understand it. The way you compress the ball is different. Mm-hmm. The weight of the air as it gets cooler is just heavier. So the ball, does not go as far. Even there's a video floating around out there of Phil Mickelson talking about even how much farther the ball goes, whether he's playing and teeing off in the morning or the afternoon, how much moisture may be in the air if there's a front move. Like, all of those go into a factor of when a professional hits a golf shot. It's so interesting to understand everything that affects a golf ball. Mm-hmm. And cold air is definitely one of them. The colder it gets, the less a ball compresses and it doesn't go as far. And we found that out.
We were 18th hole. We both should have been on the green because, I mean, we both hit great shots. That was one of my better shots of the day. Second hit, you know, going up, and that earlier in the day, that ball probably would have been on the green. But
yep.
It was just interesting to see how that did change.
And I was one roll to the left.
Georgia, it's just always hot. So
I was one roll to the left from having a birdie on the 18th hole. I did chip in for birdie on the third hole today. That was interesting.
That was a pretty impressive hit because you were probably, what, 30, 40 yards off the green?
Yeah, 40 yards off. Difficult pin location. And I did not intend to actually get the ball to the hole because above that hole is death to have to putt back down the hill. But all things considered, you know, now I'll go ahead and say, yeah, I was definitely trying to make it since it went in.
Yeah, right.
100%.
Not just trying to get it close.
No. Hey, speaking of golf, RBC this weekend.
I only got to watch the playoff is the only thing I watch other than, you know, social media highlights and stuff. But yeah,
I watched quite a bit of it on Saturday and Sunday. You know, Matthew Fitzpatrick ends up winning on the third playoff hole. Jordan Spieth missed two putts barely on the first and second playoff holes. He had chances to win and couldn't close the deal. Matthew Fitzpatrick.
I mean, even that third playoff hole, he wasn't far off.
No, that was a long putt. It was
a very long putt. I mean,
his second shot just killed him, but just hit it long. But what about the second shot Matthew Fitzpatrick hit?
It looked like it was going in. I thought he was going to eagle the hole.
I know.
That was a fantastic.
That would have been a way to walk off, you know, right? Just dunk it from right there.
It's a smooth 9-iron from
186.
Yeah, 186. Like it was nothing. You know, 186, I'm pulling the hybrid out.
Yeah, so. I noticed today.
Yeah.
You know, 176, you're pulling the hybrid out. 206,
well,
you're pulling
the hybrid out. Well, I'm just not good enough at hitting my 5-iron yet. I mean, normally, you saw me use my 6-iron today more than I have all season because I worked on it a lot today.
It doesn't matter what club you get there. It just matters that you get there.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares what the number on it says? It's you got to hit whatever you're most comfortable with. That's how golf is. But back to the RBC, you know, I thought it was really neat. They started talking. Did you see this? That Matthew Fitzpatrick and his family used to take vacation there.
Mm-hmm, I did, yeah.
And it was like, it took him forever to even get to play that golf course. He wanted to play it. And, all of his family was there, got to see him win there at a place where they spent a lot of time vacationing when he was growing up. So made it extra special for him. Would have been cool to see Jordan Spieth win, you know, back to back because he won it last year. Mm-hmm. That's the last tournament he won. So it would have been neat to see him close the deal. And I always, you know, tend to pull for like a Jordan Spieth or a Ricky Fowler or Justin Thomas there.
Well, I told you earlier that last Wednesday I was up in Iowa visiting family in Nebraska, Georgia. You can't do online sports betting, but Iowa you can. And I was like, oh, sweet, I'm here in Iowa. I want to put 50 down on Jordan Spieth to win the RBC because I just like the way he's been playing. And obviously he won it last year. I was like, you know, that'd be really cool. I think he could do it again. I don't have an Iowa residency, so I couldn't prove that I live there. So obviously I couldn't do it. And when Spieth came back, because he kind of came back that last.
He wasn't in the lead. Like he wasn't in the lead when the last round started. He made a charge. And he had a lead down the stretch and surrendered it. Fitzpatrick made some putts.
Because Fitzpatrick was leading for most.
He was leading to start the fourth round.
Yeah. So when it went to a playoff, that's when I got the notification. And I was like, are you kidding me? I have to tune in. I have to watch this. Because past weekend, obviously, it was really busy. I was in the whole reason I'm in town with the wedding and stuff like that. So I watched the playoff. And I was like, if Jordan Spieth wins this, I'm going to be so mad. Because it wouldn't have been a lot. I think when last Wednesday it would have been like $1,000, but $1,000 I don't have, you know. But
right,
thankfully I did not get the chance to put down that money because I would have lost $50. So
Yeah, glad but, you I held mean, on
I
to
just,
that.
I just love watching Jordan Spieth. I think he's fun, and Matt Fitzpatrick is all right too. But
he
I
is. He seems like a nice enough guy, yeah. A likable guy.
I did love that John Rahm was there.
You know, I know.
And I don't know if you caught what he said, because they asked him about, like, you just won the Masters. What, like, why didn't you take the week off? And he said, you know, I committed to it early in the year. People want to see the new Masters champion, and I'm not going to, you know, not let them have that. I already committed to it, so I'm going to do it. So
no one would have blamed him.
No, absolutely
he would have
not
played after all the pressure from last week. There are a lot of media responsibilities even after you win an event like the Masters, a major, possibly a lot of folks consider the biggest major of the year.
I mean, and I would consider that one of the most prestigious sports tournament in the, like, ever in the world.
Like that week, like how great is that week? You get the NCAA tournament championship on a Monday and Thursday, the Masters event. Like, yeah, me, Jim Nantz would be incredible.
That was a great week of sports to
for
watch,
sure.
You know? So
even with the weather they had going on, they still had a Sunday afternoon finish on Easter. I know we're past that already, but kudos, like you said, to John Rahm. Glad he played. He started out pretty rough, like he was just worn out, but he got it going. I think he ended up in double figures under par by the end of the week, made the putt. Another guy, Scottie Scheffler, was up at the top of the leaderboard again. I mean, yeah, every week that guy brings it. He is so consistent, so solid.
I was just impressed with how, because I think Jordan and Matt Fitzpatrick, they finished 17 under before the playoff. Like that, they were playing some good golf.
They were.
I mean, obviously that course is probably a little bit easier than Augusta National, but that's still pretty impressive that over the weekend they managed to finish 17 under. But I did love John Rahm is definitely growing on me. The more I see his interviews and the way he interacts with the media, and you know, he talks about how he says he's gonna take some time off, and then later that afternoon he's out there chipping. Like he legitimately loves what he's doing.
He does. It shows. The sport needs that. I mean, I feel like the sport of golf is doing very well right now.
Oh, 100%.
But really good to watch him play, see how well he's been doing. Hope he continues. But, you know, personally, I want the Americans to win the majors. I mean,
yeah,
that's, I mean, just that's the American in me. Oh, it's not that I necessarily pull against those guys. It's just I'd love to see guys like Scottie Scheffler. I want a live guy to win a major. Like, I want it to happen this year, whoever it is. I just think it would be incredible for some drama. I want some drama.
The best chance of that might have been with Brooks at the Masters. I
mean, well, you'll have guys, you know, DJ will be up there again. Brooks will be up there again.
I was surprised that Phil was up there, if I'm being completely honest.
And he knows that golf course like the back of his hand. I mean, he's not a spring chicken either. He's in his mid-50s, yeah. So, or early 50s. I know he's in his 50s. I think he's 52, maybe. That was very interesting. But back to the RBC, great event. Golf is in full swing. It's so fun to watch. We'll have the PGA Championship coming up in May. Then the U.S. Open will be in June.
For the PGA Championship?
I don't. I can look it up here.
That would be
not
real
sure.
Fun if it was when I'm back in town.
It would be real fun. It'd be real fun. Yeah, the PGA is coming up May 18th through the 21st.
Ah, it's the weekend after I leave.
Yeah, the Byron Nelson is why you're here. So. A lot of stuff coming up. The Wells Fargo, near and dear to my heart at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, is coming up here in a couple weeks. Been on those grounds. Actually witnessed Rory McIlroy win that golf tournament. Went the week and when he won, which is pretty neat. That is the first weekend in May, so May 4th through 7th.
Gotcha.
That'll be next weekend is the Mexico Open. John Rahm won that last year, by the way. So should be interesting. A lot of golf.
And I just showed you the new Live hole that they're coming up with, one of their tournaments. It's gonna hopefully rival the 16th hole at the Waste Management. Their big stadium hole, they're trying to make it kind of like the party hole, have that same atmosphere. So I'm interested to see if they manage to accomplish that. Obviously it's not gonna be the same as the Waste Management,
because no.
It's just kind of iconic and been around for so long, but the new Live stuff is, it's interesting to see. I'm excited for it.
It's just, the more I watch
golf, the more excited I am for both of these, you know.
Yeah, you hope they do well. You know, the more golf to watch is a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Which is crazy because I used to hate watching golf so much. Like, I hated it more than watching hockey and baseball on TV. Now, obviously, I've grown to like watching both of those a little bit more, but I used to hate those too. And golf was just so boring. And now, I mean, I could watch golf all day.
When you start playing it, the sport, you know, you understand how good those guys are. Like, how hard it is to hit some of the shots and pull off what they pull off from spots that are so impossible, and how far they hit it. Just the grind.
I think it was Cam Young this past week. He was in the trees, kind of a dog leg left, and he drew the ball just perfectly around it, put it on the green. It was like one of the crazy. I mean, obviously it was a bad first shot, but his second shot was unbelievable. What these guys can do.
They recover so well. It's fun to watch. We love golf, but we should move on because we got a huge topic. The NBA playoffs.
We do, yeah.
We have the game going in the background. I just saw Steph get a little bit gimpy as they're playing the Kings. Good game so far. Golden State in the lead. We just witnessed Philly take a 2-0 lead against Brooklyn. I know you want them to lose. You don't like these guys.
I've never, from the second Joel Embiid joined the league, I didn't like him. I thought he was overrated. I will say this season I didn't watch a whole lot of him, so I don't know. You were obviously like, oh yeah, that's the MVP right there. I've never liked him. He was always hurt, and it seemed like he was always complaining about something. And I hate players that are consistently hurt and always complaining. And so just yeah, from the get go, I never liked Joel Embiid. I hate James Harden.
I'm not a big James Harden fan. I gotta admit, I'm not a big James Harden fan. I like Embiid. I think he's fun to watch. The East is loaded. I mean, and the Bucks, they're everybody's favorite to come out of the East. Them in Boston, but they lost.
Game, yeah.
Giannis got hurt.
Ah.
Did you see this? He fell on his back or tailbone in the first quarter and against Miami, and he did not return. It looked very painful. Now, I don't know how long he'll be out. Hopefully he can recover. Just a crazy game, because in the first half as well, Tyler Hero broke his wrist.
I did see that. Yeah, that's too bad. I like Tyler Hero.
Jimmy Butler went off in that game.
Yeah,
and definitely led the Heat to win. Chris Middleton tried to bring the Bucks back. So Bucks down, to the Heat 1-0. Your beloved Lakers.
Yeah, that game. I watched the second half of that game, and the Lakers came to play like they were pushing for a championship. They played fantastic. Rui Hachimura, however you pronounce his last name, came, balled out. Austin Reeves, which I've talked about him before, how much I love AR. He came and had some pretty clutch moments towards the stretch. I mean, they went on a 15-0 run at the end of the game. I mean, Rui knocked down like three threes in a row, and they were not easy threes. One of them was open. And then he had some contested ones. LeBron hit a deep contested three over Dylan Brooks, which we talked about how much I absolutely love Dylan Brooks.
Oh, yeah. That
made me happy. I did feel really bad. Ja, I don't know if you saw the play. Ja Morant came down on his hand, kind of just, he tried to dunk over Anthony Davis, which I mean, I've seen him do some crazy dunks, but that's a big dude and he's pretty small. Came down wrong, came down on his already injured hand. So that could be interesting to see. I haven't heard anything. Definite. Yeah,
they're saying he may miss game two. It's not definitive.
Yeah, I saw that his like MRI or X-rays came back negative. So hopefully, I mean, you never. Yes,
it's a shooting hand, right? He hurt his shooting hand. So that if it was his offhand, I think he definitely could play through some pain. But when you're shooting hand, if it's hurting, that messes everything
like.
you do up.
I played in the tournament with a fractured hand my junior year. Fractured shooting hand. I played my last tournament of the year, last home game. I hit a pole or one of the railings of the bleachers and fractured two bones in my hand and just took a lot of Tylenol and played through it. I know what it's like. That sucks. But you, as much as I like the idea that it might be a little bit easier for the Lakers to win, you never want to win because their all-star got hurt. Like you want to win straight up.
Right.
You want that bragging rights. So hopefully he's only maybe out for one game, you know. But the Lakers were playing fantastic. Those bench guys, those, you know, lesser known players just came to play.
That Vanderbilt kid is so, he's such a good defender. He might be the only Laker I actually like watching play. Sorry, I don't like the Lakers at all, but he is fun to watch just because of how he defends and the kind of effort that he gives. A lot. I mean, we're still early.
It is. I mean, that was just game one. Now it is nice to win game one of the series away. It's going to make it easier down the stretch.
Because if you can win the series, you have to win at least one road game.
Yeah, you do. So it was a good game to watch. I enjoyed watching that. The other one that I watched this weekend was, I mean, we have game two going on right now with Golden State, Sacramento. I watched the second half of the game one, or really the fourth quarter. I'll say I think I caught like the last minute or two of the third quarter, but fourth quarter, I made the comment to you earlier talking about it, and I tweeted something out right after the game, you know, congratulations to the Sacramento referees on their game one victory in the playoffs. It was ridiculous in my eyes. I mean, my whole family was just like, are you kidding me? 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Golden State has two team fouls, and by the 2 minutes left, they were like well into bonus. Like, they were all over Steph. Like, off the ball, they were grabbing him, holding him. He could barely move. When he had the ball, they were swarming him, smacking him in the arms. Like, and then, like, and other players on the shot that down low, they were getting hacked all over the place. On the opposite end, if you breathed on Sacramento, and I'm not, you know me, I'm not Mr. Pro Golden State.
Right.
Not anymore. I used to be. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, that. You were.
I used to be back in the day, but now I'm not Mr. Golden State anymore. It was, I would almost blame the refs because they were not calling it both ways. It was ridiculous. Sacramento was getting all the calls. I mean, you want to talk about NBA being scripted. They want this, you know, Cinderella story team out of nowhere coming out. So now I'm definitely cheering for Golden State to win because I've never really liked the Kings. I don't know why.
But I like Golden State. I love watching Steph Curry. I like watching the Warriors brand of basketball.
Steph is fun to watch.
I love how they move. The whole team moves. They move the ball. Not one person sits and holds it. Even when Steph has it and he dribbles a little bit, he's still moving. Everyone else is moving. Mm-hmm. I've told you, I don't know how many times, I'll say it again. You let me start a franchise and I get to pick five players. One of them likely will be Draymond Green.
I still disagree with that.
He is the glue to that team. Were it not for he, they would not have the four championships.
He didn't really do much in that game. At least the half that I saw towards the end.
But that's what makes him so great. He doesn't fill, like, he's not going to fill it up scoring. He does the little things though, and especially on the defensive end, he can guard 1 through 5. Yeah. So he's on the court. He can guard anybody on the court.
And obviously, I know he's capable of that. I mean, take a look back. I just saw, you know, what's going to be the next guy to lock up LeBron. He did a fantastic job back in, you know, 15 and 16 locking up LeBron. I'm just saying he's not in my top five that I'm building a team around.
I think I would take him because of the little things that you do. I mean, you could pick five all-stars, obviously, but those guys are going to be so ball dominant, and Draymond does not have to have the ball in his hand.
He does not. But he will knock down open shots, and he can. Will. He is
and he can the distribute plays. The ball. He defends. Like, he is, to me, the glue that...
You want to talk about, in that Golden State game, someone who fell apart and was basically worthless to that team? Andrew Wiggins. He was terrible.
Well, like, he hasn't played in, like, 2 months, so...
I mean, but still. Like, and, you know, down the stretch, they're down by, you know, one or two or tied. I can't remember exactly. With a couple seconds left, Klay Thompson drives the ball, had a very fairly wide open floater, decides to pass it to a wide open Andrew Wiggins in the corner, and it was not even close. He had already bricked a couple of them. He wasn't playing good defense. And I mean, this is someone that's been fairly consistent and good for Golden State the past season, and he just did not. I thought he fell apart, and I don't want to, you can't blame one person, but.
Yeah, I mean, and it was one game. That was his first game back. Seriously, it's been a couple months since he's played a competitive game of basketball. So it's good to see him back on the floor. They need him. They don't necessarily need him for his offense. Now he'll hit a nice mid range, but defensively is why he makes. He's another one.
Yeah,
you know, he and Draymond really on the court
on defense either.
Probably got to get his legs under him.
Yeah,
I'll stand up and defend him for a little bit. Yeah, he hasn't played in a while. He has been out for quite some time. So that team went healthy. They're one of, if not the best teams in basketball. I mean, Jordan Poole last year came on the scene big time.
I do really like Jordan Poole.
There's not a drop off when Steph goes out and he comes in, and I know they're playing together a lot. And everything's forgotten. Remember how the season started, actually the preseason? Everything that went on with Draymond punching Jordan Poole in practice and
all of the drama that
happened. That's hopefully all forgotten.
I mean, it seems like they're
doing just fine. Hasn't been anything else. I don't like that look from Draymond. Like, there's never room for that in a locker room. It's not a good team.
Yeah, you don't want that just blatantly aggressive player.
No.
I mean, we saw how that affected a team with the Timberwolves with Gobert throwing, and now he's back. But, I mean, they did lose their first game of the series. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. That is a bad look for Draymond, and I do like him enough that I don't want to see him. I hate just super dirty and, overly physical players.
Who's your least favorite player in the NBA?
Grayson Allen, hands down, not even a question. If he never touched a basketball again, or I never saw his stupid face ever again, it would make. And this is not even. I know you hate him because he's a Duke guy. I hated him back at Duke because I think he's a dirty sack of crap. I hate Grayson Allen every time I see him play. I mean, just this season, he's had like four or five different times that people were trying to fight him. Because he just plays dirty. That's not basketball. I get playing aggressive. I'm a physical guy. I'll throw a hip around, you know, might extend an arm or two. But when you are blatantly tripping and throwing elbows, I hate Grayson Allen so much.
I can't disagree with that. That brings a smile to my face to hear you say that. I didn't even have to say it.
No. And we didn't talk about this before.
No, we didn't. Not at all.
I hated him at Duke. He made me hate Duke. Like before. Obviously, I knew you hated them, and I was like, I could go either way. I liked watching them in March Madness. They were always entertaining, especially like them Kentucky, them North Carolina, you know, the rivalries that came with Duke. But ever since he was on Duke, I've hated them. And same reason that I hated Matthew Dellavedova back in the day. I thought he was the same way.
Oh, he was such a physical basketball player.
But the wrong type of physical.
Yes.
He was a dirty physical. I hate dirty players.
Do you like Patrick Beverley?
I not really.
Me either.
I didn't like that he was going to the Lakers. I thought it was a terrible move bringing him and Westbrook to the same team. Like,
agreed.
It already had beef. What are you doing? I get making moves. You got to make things right with your
team. He's a good on-ball defender. I get it, but he's just so annoying. And he thinks he's better than he is.
Yeah.
I also
think that about Dylan Brooks. I mean, Dylan Brooks is good, but he thinks he's better than he is.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't necessarily back up everything he says. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to realize and know your place.
Like, self-awareness. You are not on the level of John Morant.
No.
If John Morant wanted to come out and talk all that smack that Dylan Brooks was, I'd be like, okay. I mean, I think John Morant's one of at least top 10, if not top 5 right now, at least for guards. He's phenomenal to watch.
He's so fun to watch.
But Dylan Brooks is just like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't need to talk.
Speaking also of players that I don't like, former Laker Westbrook, offensively in game one, was basically worthless. His defense was fantastic.
Yep.
He played so good on defense.
And they got the win.
They did.
They got the win.
Over the Suns, which I think everyone was expecting the Suns to come in and just wipe the floor with them. I would love to see the Suns lose.
Kawhi went off in game one.
And they
need
that with Paul George, you know, being out and possibly he's going to miss the whole first series, I think they said.
Yeah, he's out the whole first series.
I would love to
see. The Suns will
be
okay. They definitely didn't play their best. And defensively, the Suns usually play better than they played. So,
I mean, I've gone on my Kevin Durant rant. I don't know if I've done it on the podcast.
I'm pretty sure you have.
Yeah, just like I want to see him lose every time. he can only he's only good on a super team. The second that it's, you know, a little bit hard and he has to carry, he's not a leader. He's a role. No. He's just a really good role player in my eyes. I mean, he's one of the best role players, but like he's not. I would consider that Devin Booker's team. I would not consider that Kevin Durant's team.
Agreed. Yeah, I feel like that's and Chris Paul.
Yeah,
can't forget about Chris Paul. DeAndre Ayton played pretty good down the stretch. That was a good game. That was a fun game to watch yesterday. Speaking of basketball, we got to play a little pickup last week and be bigger ballers. You know,
that, we did.
That was a fun run,
and,
right?
And it was. We were on the same team. I think we shot free throws, and I think it was me and you were like the number one and two. So that was pretty exciting. We had to play on the same team. I'm gonna go ahead and blame it on being sick, but I was struggling to breathe a little bit. It's been a long time since I played basketball.
You're definitely struggling.
It's been a long time since I've done any sort of cardio because I was big into weightlifting a few months back with my buddy. He's a skinny guy. He doesn't need to do cardio. So we were just going to the gym and we were lifting and I haven't had a need to do cardio. So I haven't done any. So it was a little rough.
We won quite a few in a row though.
We did. I mean, I was basically worthless. I couldn't hit anything. So I just started passing it more.
I was feeling it. I ain't gonna lie.
You were knocking down. I started feeling it. Obviously that last game,
I think
I had like 11 of the 21 points. So that last game, I kind of caught my wind, but I just couldn't get my breath. Like even the game that I sat out and I was like, my heart rate slowed down and I felt like I was like back to normal. I still could not breathe fully in because of allergies, climate. I don't know what it was, but I'm not used to this dry weather. I still like,
yeah.
Today at the driving range, I was on the phone with the girlfriend and she's like, I can hear you breathing and you're at the driving range. Because like, I think it's just this climate. I'm not used to it.
It's definitely different for sure. But good. I was glad we got to get out and run, play some ball together with some buddies and good crew. We had a good run. Always nice to exercise. There's a reason we call ourselves bigger ballers because we do like to get out and play some hoops. So,
yeah, I mean, we haven't played in.
It's been a minute.
It's been since November.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Good run.
When I get back to Georgia, obviously I'll be back here in less than a month. Once I leave, because you know, the brother's graduating, but when I get back to Georgia, I've already decided it's diet time. I'm doing some cardio. Obviously, not going to get quite the summer body that I'm going to want, but might be good to lose a little bit of weight.
Trim a little down. There you go.
Just be able to walk up some stairs without losing my breath. You know,
I'm not laughing because I'm not a small guy myself. Yeah. I'm not in horrible shape for being almost 40 years old and a big guy. Try to do some cardio. You can see the bike over there. I do ride that quite often. Keeps the heart rate going. Get some exercise. Hey, we gotta run, but we're gonna jump in and do some style points.
Yeah, and today's it's a shorter episode, but you know, next week will be hopefully a little bit longer as we get closer to the draft and the NBA playoffs kind of unfold a little bit more. But yeah, style points today might go a little bit longer. We're going to talk NBA. Or no, we said college football.
No, we did say NBA. We did say NBA.
NBA jerseys. Keeping on that kind of that series that we started last week with best jerseys, worst jerseys, colorways, all that.
So, yeah, most iconic, best, worst. So let's start. Do you want to start with worst? Like the worst uniforms in the NBA?
I mean, that one's – I don't think there's any – horrible jersey that I just absolutely hate. Obviously, being a Lakers fan, I hate the Celtics jerseys, but there's not really one. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Kings. The purple and gray is just, it just looks, it honestly looks more old school. Like, it looks outdated, I think. They need to, like, update their jersey a little bit. So, it's not like the NFL where there was one that just, I hate their colorway, like Kansas City or the Steelers. Like,
I'm not a huge fan of the Bucks, and that like Hunter kind of green is just like,
yeah,
yuck. I can
see that.
Just not a fan of that shade of green at all. It's really boring to me, if you ask me. That's a really
boring uniform.
Yeah. Don't
and
like.
I mean, that's how I kind of feel about the Kings. It's just boring,
right?
You know. But I don't, there's not one that I've really,
really can't stand really or don't stand. Like.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the red Atlanta Hawks jerseys. I love their black ones. I think they look super good. But I'm not a huge fan. Obviously, being, you know, an hour and a half away from Atlanta where I live, I see a lot of those. And I do need to make it up to one of their games. But yeah, I think the Hawks are it depends on which jersey, you know. But admittedly, I will say I'm not a huge fan of the Laker yellow.
Well, yeah, me either. But I just I'm not a fan of the Lakers.
You're biased, so that doesn't count.
Right.
I'm a Lakers fan and I don't like the yellow. I love their black. Oh.
The black and yellow.
So good.
In fact, I need to get me a Kobe jersey in that colorway.
Still. Yeah, that's what I think. Well, my Kobe jersey is gray, I believe. It's like it's not one they ever wear, but I do want to get another.
I need to get a Kobe jersey.
I do. I have a LeBron purple pinstripe jersey. That one's kind of cool.
There you go.
My Laker jersey, but I do.
So what's your favorite? What's your favorite jersey?
Miami's Vice jerseys.
You like those?
Oh, I love them. The pink and the blue. Oh, they look so good. They're so iconic for like Miami. Like that's just.
I mean, it definitely fits Miami.
Yeah. I don't hate the Suns jerseys either.
I actually was gonna. I was about to say I really like that black and orange together. Yeah, like
the orange and the red that kind of fades.
That's really true.
But I've always loved the Miami Vice jerseys. I think they're sharp. Now their regular colorway, I could go either way. I really don't care. The maroonish red and black. It's whatever. Actually, I just thought of a jersey that I hate. Cleveland.
Oh,
I do not like the yellow. And
oh, that maroon. Gold. Yeah. That is.
Do not like them. I like their black jerseys. They used to wear. Actually, I don't mind the short sleeve ones.
Yeah,
basically the whole jersey looks spandex. You know,
right?
Those ones aren't terrible, but I do not like the maroon and gold.
And I really, I mean, I'm biased, but I love the Hornets teal. Like that's
it stands out. And I'm as being someone who likes flashier. You know, things and colorways. I do like the Hornets. Their pinstripe is real sharp.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of their best jersey combinations. They're white. Yeah. It's whatever.
And Memphis kind of along that same, like the Grizzlies with that.
And kinda, they're more neutral, I would say, though.
Greenish teal. I don't mind, you were talking about green.
The Timberwolves have their, bright green jerseys.
Yes, like neon. Seahawks style. Like highlighter. Yeah.
I actually like their regular jerseys. I could go either way, but I do like the bright green.
For sure.
I like it when a team has like an off colorway that's just super bright. They wear them for one game. You know, Golden State has some pretty clean jerseys at times. Mm-hmm. They're white and they're blue or whatever.
They're navy. I like their navy that they've been wearing, like a closer to navy kind of blue, you know?
I don't think I've seen those.
Those are different. I really like those.
The black with the gold, like just the gold. Mm-hmm. Letterings, that one's always.
I think you got to be reigning champs if you get those right. Or isn't there something to that? They wore those opening night. I don't know, like to put the gold in your jersey. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I'm talking about like the one. It's where it's like it's there. Like I think they have a sleeveless one, but it's there like spandex short sleeve one.
Gotcha. They're
all black.
Oh yeah, I like that jersey.
And then it's just like the yellow letter. Not like I know what you're talking about, like the yellow embroider or whatever. Yep. Because Kansas City has one or has their version of it for NFL.
So what's the most iconic
Bulls? I think we talked about this a little bit last week.
Let's rank a few. Bulls, hands down. I mean, the GOAT.
I mean, Bulls and Lakers. I would Bulls, Lakers, Celtics.
Knicks.
Yeah, I would say Knicks.
Okay, I'm going to throw one in here. I think like what could be the most recognizable and one you see everywhere. Is the old school Raptors, like with Vince Carter.
Like the purple ones?
Yes. Like with the Raptor on it. That like you see those everywhere.
And it's only Vince Carter.
It is.
You never see anybody. I can't even name anybody else. That was
Stephon Marbury.
Oh yeah. Did you ever have the Starberry shoes?
I did.
I probably had four or five pairs of those. I love those shoes. That's some of my favorite basketball shoes I've ever had.
Yeah.
I had the white ones with the blue and the orange. Logo for right. players on the Knicks.
Like, yep. Good old Starberries.
Those were some good shoes. I loved those.
They were cheap. I mean, that was the best part. Yeah. They were affordable.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, so Raptors, do you like that? Do you see that? I mean,
I would say it's iconic. I'm not a huge fan of it, but
another
like,
one
I just picture like Vince Carter in like the dunk contest.
Or Tracy McGrady. I mean, Here's another one. You know, can't forget about.
It seems like the Rockets really haven't changed much of their uniform. Like they, like the T-Mac days, and now like.
I just was watching a podcast or a video clip the other day that Tracy McGrady. There's another NBA player that how they found out they were cousins was hilarious. Like one of them was that, you know, was that like a family reunion? And I think Tracy McGrady was at a family reunion and we're talking, you know, a grandmother was talking about her nephew that played in the NBA and come to find out another NBA player from a different part of the family, you know, it wasn't, and they found, that's how they found out they were cousins.
That's funny.
I got to look that up. That was pretty cool.
That is cool.
And so here's another, back to the uniform. I found a rabbit trail. Sorry. The Spurs with the black, with the silver, with the spur.
I mean, that is a pretty iconic one. I would say that's more of like, that's a newer icon. I mean,
I don't know. Tim Duncan, like mid 90s.
Yeah.
You had your old school Orlando Magic with Shaq and Penny Hardaway. The white jersey, I remember, was super popular.
Yeah, I just.
And that was before your time.
Yeah, that was.
Well, you probably don't even remember the Magic being good.
No.
And they were. They were really good. They were really good. They ran into the Rockets back.
I don't remember. Now that I think about it, I don't really remember the Magic being.
They were.
Same with like. Yeah, no.
Or the Knicks, you mean? You really don't even remember the Knicks being good, probably, with Patrick Ewing and.
Yeah, I mean, that was well before.
John Starks. I mean, they had some players. What, Larry Johnson.
The three-peat was 90.
The three-peat was 91, 92, 93.
Last Dance was like.
That was 96, 97, 98.
Yeah.
They won.
So, I mean, that you think that was. The year I was born was 97. So,
yeah.
I didn't even get to see. That
some good times. I was 97, so I was 14 when you were born. I'm old.
You are old.
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, I feel like my body is falling apart just as much, so it's fine.
Well,
I just slather my back in Icy Hot and take ibuprofen just to be able to swing today. So
hey, you made it through.
I did, and I felt pretty good once I got on the course, but man, when I was on the driving range, I was real tight. But
man, I'm glad we're able to do this in person twice.
Yeah.
Hate you're going back to Georgia. I wish I was going with you to get even warmer weather. I love down south. Our beloved Braves, we didn't touch on baseball. They are like, they won six games last week. Power Rankings has them as the number one team in baseball right now at 12-4.
They're up 2-0 on the Padres. I mean, it's top of the fifth, but
Max Fried is back.
Yes, I did see that.
We need that.
Yeah, it seems like they've been kind of on a tear, minus that Padres series.
Well, we're about to get them back, so.
Hopefully. But, yes. I mean, this year could be real fun. The pitch clock, the pitch timer is growing on me.
It's
making the games
a little bit
more. And I feel like there's more dynamic plays with them, which is real exciting. So.
Really fun to watch. We didn't touch on baseball. We will. We'll get to baseball. Baseball's a long season. Man, so good to see you.
You too.
Been fun. Safe travels. Hope you catch your max on fish. Hope you catch your two this weekend.
Yeah, me too. I've never caught one. I've only been once and I didn't catch one. I snagged a catfish on accident, but I never caught one. Also, just for those that I know that are anxiously waiting, I dropped the ball and forgot to order the chip.
Man, that stinks.
So we might have to put a hold on it. Maybe when I come back next month, I'll bring the chip with me.
Oh,
I did look today. It's not going to be here in time before I leave, so we won't be able to take that video. So we will be doing the chip eventually. You're not going to get out of it. I'm just.
I know I'm not going to get out of it.
I'm building the suspense, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's not going to be awesome.
You didn't even want me to. You made sure that tonight when I bought us Taco Bell that I got mild sauce.
Yes. Who needs hot like?
I wanted hot sauce. They put the fire sauce in, and even that was pretty good.
I don't want to be miserable when I eat my food. Like why do that to yourself?
I wasn't miserable. It just adds a nice little kick to it, you know?
Yeah, I don't need a kick.
I mean, you're from
the mild sauce was a plenty good kick.
I mean, not really. Mild sauce.
For
mild Taco Bell sauce does not have kick.
For me, it was. But that's just doesn't matter where I'm from. It's just my palate doesn't like hot stuff.
Unrefined.
It is not unrefined. I have very good taste.
All right. It's been fun.
It has. Have a good night.
Yep.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Catch you next week and be waiting for us to announce where we might possibly do a live stream of the draft. It'll be real fun.
Let's do it. Should be fun.